Our scripture passage today is Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. Please listen to God's word as I read it. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. We live in a world that is surrounded by darkness, the darkness of death and brokenness. It is all around us. We see it and experience it in lives that are shattered by drugs and alcohol or crippled by injury and disease. We see it in the outbreaks of violence, in war, or on the streets, or even in homes. We see it in our own hearts as we battle against jealousy and bitterness and greed. It could be very easy to become discouraged and overwhelmed by the state of the world and the state of our own condition. But in the midst of darkness, Jesus Christ came to bring life out of death and healing out of suffering. Isaiah 61 is a gospel passage that tells us in rich poetic language that Jesus Christ came to deliver His people. That deliverance, we know, is the deliverance that stands upon the cross of Jesus Christ. That Jesus laid down His life for the sins of His people, and He conquered death so that we might live again. In fact, that power of death is something that has reigned in the world since that first day that Adam and Eve sinned against God. The power of death has been shown, but Christ came and overcame that power of death so that it would no longer reign in this world. Instead, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, reigns, bringing life out of death and healing out of suffering. Today, as you hear this passage and you consider the word of the Lord, I would urge you to think about the hurts and the clouds of despair that you yourself might be experiencing. If you are thinking that there is no escape, or if you know someone who is suffering in this way, then I would urge you to hear the good news of Jesus Christ, that He came to bring life out of death, to deliver us from the power of Satan. The passage puts this message forward in a way that takes that one theme, the theme of Jesus Christ being a deliverer, and it expresses it in several different ways. And I aim to take a fairly straightforward consideration of these three short verses that have a number of retellings of the way that Jesus has come to be our Redeemer. And I aim to do that by grouping together certain headings so that we would understand how Jesus Christ came to deliver us. I'll answer three questions. Who is this Jesus? Why did He come? And whom does He deliver? Help us understand this passage. Begin with, who is this Jesus? I'll answer it, then show you from this passage where that comes from. Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, sent by the Father, anointed by the Spirit, sent to deliver us from our sins. When Jesus started His public ministry, He went to Nazareth and in the synagogue opened the book of Isaiah to this very passage. Our Lord read these verses, and having read them, He said, Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. He was taking up this passage and saying that He is the promised Messiah, the one that from all of Scripture was looked forward to in the Old Testament period. All of the anticipation of a coming Redeemer, Jesus takes to Himself. It's one of those crystal clear moments in the ministry of Jesus where He proclaims without a doubt that He is the Messiah. There are many other places in the New Testament, but this is one of those just beacons of light. And if anyone ever tries to tell you that Jesus never claimed to be the Messiah, this is a passage that you can turn to. He took this prophecy and said that it is fulfilled in Him. This is a passage that is about Jesus, about the Anointed One that God had sent to bring good news. In verse 1, Jesus says, The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. This is very similar to a passage in Isaiah 59, where the triune God reveals Himself. And He does so again in this passage. The Son of God is the speaker at this point. And He says that the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. He uses two different words to identify God. He uses the word Adonai, which means the sovereign. And then He also uses the word Lord, or the word Yahweh, the covenant name for God. The Lord God is in view here, and the Father is especially seen in sending the Spirit to anoint the Son so that He might do all that the Father commands. Who is this Jesus? This is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, who was sent by the Father and anointed by the Spirit. It is this Jesus that is the subject of Isaiah 61. And it is this Jesus who takes the Scriptures, these promises and prophecies, and applies them to Himself. Why did Jesus come, secondly? Why did Jesus come? When Jesus read this passage, He said, "Today these words are fulfilled." He identified His coming as accomplishment of God's purpose. It's a purpose that really runs throughout all three of these verses. And there's a little bit of interweaving here with my third question, whom does Jesus save? But the answer to why did Jesus come I've already given that away, I guess. Jesus came to save. Jesus came to deliver. And it's described, first of all, in verse 1, as a proclamation of good news. He says that He came to announce good news, or to preach good tidings to the poor. You probably know that the gospel is often called the good news. And it comes from passages like this, where good tidings are announced. The New Testament is the origin of that word, good news or gospel. It takes two different words and puts them together to make a compound word. It takes the prefix that means good and the word message. It's euangelion. I hate to afflict you with Greek today, but there's a reason for it. That sounds familiar, and if it's written out, the E-U to begin, it means good. And in English, we usually see it as E-V. So that euangelion becomes evangelism. It's the taking of good news to the world. And that's what the origin of that word is. It's that compound word that says, this is good news, or a good message that is proclaimed. This is what Jesus came to do. He came to preach. In fact, when I read from Luke chapter 4, I read all the way through that passage, and at the very end, the people are clinging to Jesus, saying, "Stay here with us." They were wanting him to stay there, to have the benefits of Jesus in their midst. And Jesus said essentially, "No, I have more work to do. I came to preach the gospel." He is saying, again, he's identifying with Isaiah 61, how he has been anointed by the Father with the Spirit to preach this good news. Well, that begs us to answer another question. And that other question is, just what is this good news? And as Isaiah 61 begins to elaborate on that good news, it moves us into answering the question, whom does Jesus save? And it's really here where I'll be spending most of my time this morning, answering the question, whom does Jesus save? Because it helps us to understand the purpose of Jesus' coming to save us from our sins. It says that the Messiah comes to preach to the poor or afflicted, that he comes to deliver those who are in prison, to bind up the brokenhearted. Those are all identifying the subjects of Jesus' saving act, which helps us to understand the good news. What is it? Who is it that's delivered, and what are we delivered from? I'll say in just a minute, I'll go on to consider really the depth of that as having a spiritual understanding. But before I go on to understand the spiritual understanding of these passages, I also want